Before I share the word of God, there's something the Holy Spirit has put on my heart to share with you. Before our message for today, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Verse 10, it says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." You can't claim that the life of Christ has affected you until it has changed you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There must be a definite change in your life, in all everything that concerns you, and even in your priorities. Are you with me? Are you with me? He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard," actually, if you read the previous verses, he was talking to the church in Colossae. He heard that they have faith in the Lord Jesus. They have love unto the saints. They were born again. And then he began to pray for them and to desire that they will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he was praying for them that God help them catch to see what we are really doing here. Let them have the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What will happen because of that? See verse 10. Everybody read verse 10. What does it mean by that ye might walk worthy of the Lord? What does it mean by that? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. I won't explain everything. I will take that he might walk worthy of the Lord. Some of you who have heard me say this before, you have heard me say that in the spirit realm, there is one law. That law is God. You will quickly find out that God is the king. You know that cliche, they say no matter who is president, God is king. Or Jesus is king. It's not a cliche. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Meaning seek to be right with that kingdom. But let me go back. What does it mean to walk worthy of the Lord? It means to prove to God that you rate him. It means, so let me give you an example. Imagine I give you a gold wristwatch. Are you with me? And 5 minutes later, I see that wristwatch on the floor. Or I see that wristwatch in a dustbin. Or I see that wristwatch just carelessly tossed about somewhere. Do you know what that tells me? It means this person does not know the value of this thing. Are you with me? It also means this person does not take me serious. Please, are you paying attention? Are you following this? He says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. It means there are things you will do. God will say, this person is not worthy of me. You are saved though. But God is saying that action you are taking is proof that you don't rate him. He's saying that this thing you have received, you don't know
how serious what we are doing here. Just imagine, you call somebody for a job interview. Let's say somebody's looking for a job. Then maybe you are a general manager in CBN, and you tell the person, come for this interview. Or, you know what, come by 11 o'clock, I'm going to give you a job. I am the general operations manager in CBN headquarters, Abuja. And the person says, yes, I understand. He says, time to come by 10 o'clock to meet you and talk about it. And he comes by 2. He doesn't regard you. He's not working worthy of what you are giving him. You may have written his name and already typed the papers for him to start the job. But when he comes, even though you may have given him, you just look at this guy, your way. Are you following me? He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord. That means you can prove to God that you are worthy of all that he offers. Please, are you paying attention? What I am saying to you is what makes the difference in our Christian lives. What I'm sharing with you is what makes the difference. Some days ago, the Lord said to me, he said, you know what? You know your problem? I said, Lord, he said, it's not just your problem. The problem of many people. I said, Lord, I don't want to have any problem. Have mercy. He said, okay, I understand. Then he began to talk to me. He said, the problem with many believers is familiarity. They are too familiar with God. And when you are too familiar, you will not see the result you ought to see. No, I'm serious. You will not see the result you ought to see. God knows that you have become lightweight. Let me explain. Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. What does it mean to sift like wheat? Meaning you remove all the small things that make up the whole grain, and all is left is a figure of the grain, but the wheat is gone. There are many Christians who the real substance of what makes their Christianity has been gone. It has been sifted out. All that is left is that they have not backslided. Why am I saying this? I am seeing a dangerous pattern in this generation. And probably many of you listening to me, you take God too carelessly. There's too much carelessness. Too much carelessness. The Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he is. He must believe that you are dealing with God. You must believe you are dealing with God. From your approach, the way you handle the things of God. See. There's more of you. You honor your boss more than you honor God. And God knows you honor your boss more than you honor God. And God knows. You know, when I preach like this, people don't like it. They say, why are you standing hard? Let's do it. Let me tell you, that's one of the reasons why powerhouse of old is not strong in many cycles today. This thing I just said. Even if not even churches, in many lives. That's why somebody will say, Jesus, and things will happen. Another person will say, Jesus, and it will not happen. You know why? It's not about the rod of power. It's who is holding the rod. Elijah's rod was given to Gehazi. Sorry, Elisha's rod was given to Gehazi. Take the mantle of Elisha and put on the dead boy. The boy did not respond. The boy was still dead. Elisha came and prayed for him. The boy stood up. What was wrong? Is it the mantle? Was it the prophet? No, it was who was holding the mantle. A careless man like Gehazi. See, the weight of your personal dealings with God will influence the weight of your prayer. It will even influence the weight of your spirit. Let me show you something. Matthew 22. I'm saying this thing not because I just want to scare you. But I'm a man of God. I know this thing. So the truth is that I know it. I can decide to ignore it. But if I'm seeing it, and people don't learn, no, you will not make progress. I am sent to raise disciples, right? As a disciple, I have to tell you that this way you are going is not correct, though. Some say they want to change me. This church wants to change me. That's the plan. We came to change you. Are you with me? No, that was the plan from the beginning. That's why it came. He says, go into all nations and make disciples, make pupils, make students of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. I am with you always until the end of the age. So the plan was to change you from the beginning. Are you with me? The kind of excuses people give towards God these days is funny. No, it's funny. You hear some things and like, I've come to discover that if you don't value God, you don't value God. It's not about, no matter what, until you learn it by instruction and discipleship, you will not grow. Even if you see miracles, I have prayed for a family, their dead sister came back to life. Like I prayed on phone, somebody that they covered in the hospital came back from the dead to life. I thought after that miracle, they would take God serious. No. They were still very careless. Why were you not in church today? He said, I was sleeping. I'm telling you. That's what they would tell me. The pastor was sleeping. Why didn't you come to church? He said, Pastor, I was boiling beans in this morning. I thought that. No, I've been a pastor for a while, so I know what I'm saying. My wife, one day we said, is it their family? Let's leave them alone. We have committed them to God. We thought that the kind of miracles that family had seen, and all was Pastor David prayed. One time, one of their relations was running mad, literally running mad on the road. They carried out our church and put down the altar in Port Harcourt and sent for me. And I rebuked that spirit of madness. But no, they have still not learned. They have still not learned that all this. That's why God was angry with the Israelites. He said, with all the miracles I did in Egypt, you people have still not learned how to hallow me. You people have not. He says, God has said, God swore in his rod, say, I swear you will not enter the promised land. I can imagine. Read the book of Hebrews. He said, the Bible says God was marveled by their unpersuadableness. That with all the miracles I did, you people cannot grow to take me serious. God now said, I swear you will not enter this promised land. And do you know what happened? God now said, because of this, you will wander in the promised land. You will think you are making progress, but you are not. So they were walking around for 40 years. They were working around. A journey of 11 days took 40 years. Maybe the delay in some people's lives, the one kindness in people's lives is the way they are handling spiritual things. It's not all the time, but sometimes this is it. Matthew 22 from verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. So he's obviously talking about God, Christ, the kingdom of Jesus, his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. People that were actually chosen for the wedding. Are you with me? They were bidden to the wedding. They were called for it. God planned for them. But in spite of the fact that God prepared for them, planned for them, the Bible says they did not come. Again, he sent forth other servants saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Verse 5. Everybody read verse 5. Read it again. But they made light of it, and went their way. One to his farm, another to his merchant. They did what? They made light of it. One to his farm. That's why on Sunday morning, somebody said, I was making my bed. That's why I did not come. It's not a business trip. And even if it's a business trip, at least ask, can't I excuse? Let it be that you tried everything to be where God wants you to be. And it proved abortive. It's Sunday morning, somebody will be telling me. Somebody will be saying, Pastor, I want to wash clothes. You are doing this thing he's doing. They are doing. They made light of it. They made what? light of it. And went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Verse 6. And the remnant took his servants and... Wait, something is missing here. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. So, there was an asset that they did not just make light of it. They now began to criticize the servants of the king that came to invite them. Are you with me? And slew them. That's an asset of people. They will not come to church, but they will be fighting church, talking up. Are you with me? Insulting pastors. They will slay them. Oh, churches are scam. This one. Verse 7. And when the king thereof was, praise the Lord, was wroth, he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. This is actually a deeper parable. It's talking about the Jewish nation, but let me not go into that. My emphasis is in verse 8. Everybody read verse 8.
Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they were bidden.
Read it again.
Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they were bidden.
Read it again. Then said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Do you want to get to heaven? And God tell you that there was a time in your life I was knocking to get your attention, but you made light of it. Is that what you want to hear? Let me tell you something. Everybody, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, that when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Everybody will hear his voice. At one point in your life, there will be a time when God is trying to get your attention and draw you into something deeper with him. What you do at that time matters. What you do at that time matters. Some people, it will come 5 years later. Some people, it will come 10 years later. Some people, it's 40 years later, like Moses. He was 40 when God moved him to move, to rescue the Israelites. But his brethren fought him and all of that fight started and he left. It was 40 years later Moses saw the burning bush on the mountain. He came back when he was 80. There are some of our parents, it's now that they are having the revival is coming again. They will tell you that that time I was in school, there was one fellowship. There was one thing. Some of them listen. Some of them did not listen. Are you with me? I pray you understand. The Lord gives you understanding in Jesus' name. My prayer for you is, may God not move on without you. Because that's what is happening here. At the point, he said, the people that were bidding were not worthy. Go to the streets. May God not move on without you.
Amen.
By his mercy, he will not move on without you. When I preach, I say, you are not a grace preacher. I'm a grace preacher. Very, very more than you can think. This is even grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we look at your word this morning, we are blessed and transformed in Jesus' mighty name. You know, no matter the excuse we give, this, that, let me tell you, no excuse is excusable enough. And I'll tell you why. If you jam all new breeds, activities, and meetings in a week together. Like if you calculate the time and jam it together, it's not still up to the time many people spend on Instagram. Are you with me? I remember one all night where we prayed from I think 10 o'clock to 5 a.m. And it dawned on me that it was a Friday night into Saturday morning. It dawned on me that after that all night, the next time we were going to see was 9 a.m. on Sunday. I asked everybody at the all night, how many hours do you have from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 5 a.m. on Saturday to 9 a.m. on Sunday? It came out 28 hours. 28 hours. Did you hear what I said? 28 hours. That means we don't have any excuse. You can't even say, they're taking my time too much. Mm-mm. If it's priority to you, you give attention to it. Did you hear what I said? If it's priority to you, there was a film called 24. That film is 24 hours. And the film people did not say the film is too long. Like, the film did not lose customers because it was too long. Who remembers? Wait, who remembers 24? Jack Bauer.
That film did not, that film blew. It was viral. People sat down and watched that film for 24 hours. And it's not a sin. But God is saying, who am I to you? Do you rate me? Well, today is supposed to be contending for a prosperity part 2. So, what we did in contending for your prosperity part 1 was we tried to lay a solid doctrinal structure to even teach prosperity in church. Because the Church of Jesus Christ has a challenge with some certain topics. Topics like prosperity. We have issues around those topics. Some people tend to one extreme, which we call materialism, where they suppose that everything in Christianity is about money. And there's another group that goes to another extreme, which we call asceticism, which believe everything that looks like prosperity is ungodly. Are you with me? They fight anything that looks like prosperity. In fact, for them, the poorer you look or the more pious you look, you are a very serious Christian. Are you following what I'm saying? There are people like that. In fact, there are ministers like that. Do you know that? Oh my, please, do you know that what I'm saying? God. And we dealt with it extensively in that video. Please, after this service, go and watch it. Psalm 119 from verse 44. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to us. Speak to us in the name of Jesus. I receive grace and boldness to say all you want to say. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 119 verse 144. The Bible says, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Glory! Give me understanding. I pray for you, God will give you understanding in this service. Amen. That you will not see these words as the words of a man, but of God. You will see clearly and hear clearly what the Lord is saying to you. Amen. Proverbs 4 verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. Say after me what? Understanding. Say it again, understanding. Understanding, understanding is so important. And I want to do a teaching on what you can call, how do we contend for our prosperity? Are you following me? Now, if you watch the video or the teaching, the previous teaching we did, Contend for Your Prosperity, actually, I did that teaching from my office. We said that the only thing in the Christian faith that is completely free is salvation. Every other thing, there is a part man must play, and there is a part God will play for it to come to pass in your life. Are you with me? You know, sometimes this concept, sometimes it's easy for us to understand and accept this concept with other things. But when it comes to money or healing, people just stretch things beyond biblical balance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's why I want to share with you what I've called the natural laws and the supernatural prosperity. Glory. Listen, you need the both of them. Are you following me? You need the natural laws and the supernatural laws for prosperity. Have you ever thought about the wars that were fought in ancient Israel? You will see the Bible say, and God gave them victory. Have you seen things like that? God gave the Israelites victory. Many times, there were even scenarios where they would tell Moses, or Moses the prophet would stand on the mountain, and they discovered that when Moses' hand were up, the people won. But when Moses' hand were down, the people lost. But do you realize that it was not just about Moses' hand being up or down? There were soldiers fighting. Are you following this? The people did not say it's all about our weapons and our fighting, so Moses should go home. Neither did they say it's all about Moses lifting his hand, so we will not fight. The only time they did not fight was when God specifically told them not to fight. Are you with me? The only time they did not fight was when God would specifically tell them, this time you will not fight. But every time, they knew that our altar must be on fire, but at the same time, we must also go to the battlefield. They understood the balance between the natural laws and the supernatural laws for victory. They must go hand in hand. Are you with me? Christianity is like a system. For instance, your car has an automobile system. And in a system, there are different things that make the car to work. Sometimes, you can try to put on your car, and the car will not come on, not because there is no fuel, but because your battery is low. Sometimes, there may be fuel in the car, the battery may be charged, but your Kickstarter is bad. Are you following me? Sometimes, your Kickstarter is good, the engine is good, there is fuel in the car, the battery is working, but your legs are bad. Are you following me? For the car to work, every part of the system must be working together. Are you getting this? What am I doing? I'm trying to show you how that even in your life and in prosperity, sometimes there are other systems that need to be put in place. There are so many systems that you must put together. You must put them together. And don't feel like it is impossible. Well, it is possible. The reason why your car could bring you from wherever it brought you to this place was because the system was working. So it's possible. It's possible to get all the factors that need to be put in place to be put in place. Are you with me? Glory! So what are the natural laws of prosperity? Number one, diligence. People don't talk about this in church, but some people are lazy. Diligence! Law number one. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 verse 29, see that a man diligent in his business. He shall stand before kings. He shall stand before mean men. After me, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of laziness. No, right now is a bad spirit. How can a lady walk up to me and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be the side chick of a billionaire. I say, what if he's married? He said, I don't care. Just let him be. If I tell you the things, there was a time somebody walked up to me. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. That my husband has left me. So, I felt so bad. Why will he do that? You know me, a marriage advocate. Why will he leave you? What kind of man is that? The Holy Ghost said, calm down. Don't be shouting too much. Ask her about this, her husband. So, it happened that she went to a native doctor, a Dibia, and took jazz. And threw it on this man in her office that was doing well. The man that has wife and three children woke up and followed her to her house. Relocated from that state to another state with her. Forgot about his children for 2 years. Then one day the spell broke. The spell broke. The man woke up and said, what am I doing here? Where is my wife? Asked her, who are you? And left her and she came to me to renew the spell. I say, if I pray this prayer, not only will the spell break again, it will turn out to fire you. But you know what causes that? Laziness. The man built her a house. God. Just work hard. Sometimes just work hard. Diligence. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 verse 4, it says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Proverbs 10 verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Let me be saying it now. No matter how prayerful you are, if you're not a diligent person, you won't see the real fruit of prosperity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm saying it so that they will not say church. They did not say it. Church, we said it. Jesus said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me. I must walk the walk of him that sent me. I used to tell ministers, I said, even if you're a full-time minister, if you don't work hard, you will fail. If you know the way how hard we work, some people that are 9 to 5, they can't compete with us. My people that are close to me, they are laughing. Because confidence told me one day, he said, working with Pastor David, you make you know that ministry is an organization. No, it's 6 a.m. on Monday, we have a work has started. And we work till 10 p.m. in the night. All those devotions that you see, do you know that we are the ones that design it? Do you know that? There is no contractor somewhere. We have people. We have a team of our own people. All the devotions you see, many of them are... Okay, for instance, this video, I and Alessio, we did it ourselves. The entire video, if you need to see the way some kind of angles we will climb to... Remain small. You somebody will fall. For 2 years in this ministry, I was the graphic designer. Jesus. The kind of hard work that goes into what you see. I can't talk about it. Then we've not talked about all this is administrative hard work. We've not talked about the prayer and the spiritual side. Bible study. Yesterday, those of you that came yesterday, were you blessed yesterday?
Yes, sir.
Disciples refresher course was hot. Don't miss December's own. Amen.
Amen.
I taught it for 4 hours. How long do you think I studied what I taught you? I've done Bible Illumina here and we've taught I'll teach for 10 hours. How long do you think I now studied what I taught you for 10 hours? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. It says, the slothful man roasted not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. The slothful man roasted not that which he took in hunting. That means when a man is slothful, he does not have the diligence to move things from raw material to refined products. I get one mad idea. I have one idea. Okay, put this, do this. Let's refine it from what you got in hunting to something that can be worked on. To you, the idea is okay. So, after me, I am a diligent person. Some people, you know what's affecting them in their Christian life? They are lazy. And you see, there is no religious practice that needs diligence like Christianity. You see Christianity? Hey, God. The violent. Take it. This Christianity, if you are going to be a serious Christian, a Christian that God will you go work hard though. I remember how I started reading my Bible. I'll read my Bible, sleep off. I read my Bible, I'll sleep off. I said, a time came for me to read the Bible. I would stand like this. I tell you, Bible, I must read you. You see this Bible? You must enter me. Then you now see standing and sleeping. But finally, at a point, I noticed that it began to make sense. Things began to connect to each other. It began to connect to each other. And gradually, the sleep began to reduce. See, after me, diligence. Number two law of prosperity. Or number two natural law in contending for your prosperity is good relationships with people. Did you hear what I said? Good relationships with people. We don't talk about this thing, but some people are too nasty. Hey, some people, the reason why they have not promoted them in the office, they are rude. Bad character. They are too saucy. You are somehow. Some of them anger issues. They talk to you one, you give them 100. You say, do you know who I am? You are mad, you are stupid, you are crazy, bombastic element, idiot. Hey, self-control. No. Aura for aura. Bad character. I was invited 5 years ago to minister at a conference. And in that conference, a minister was also invited. Full session, powerful meeting. And after the conference, the organizers of the conference called me and said, wow, we were so blessed. You know what? We are going to have you for the next 5 years of this conference. And they did. There was another minister that was also invited in that conference. Somehow after the conference, we met, we talked, we exchanged numbers. Then the person called me and was telling me how that the organizers of the conference, they are bad people. They did not take care of how well they are this, they are that. She was telling me that she's insulted by them. I just say it is well. It is well. God will help us.
About me, I'll join you, rubbish on that person. No. I don't do that kind of thing. No, it's called backbiting. I don't do it. Are you with me? No. I said, it is well, oh, it is well. So how would they give me a miserable 100,000? 100K miserable. Thank God they did not tell you bye-bye. A whole miserable 100K. I was like, wow, 100K, now 50 they give me. Oh. wow, praise God. But she was just complaining. Later, the organizer of the conference called me. You know, how are you so, he was telling me, how are you so just easygoing? He said, one of our ministers gave us problems. Then mentioned the person's name. I said, hi. He said, we have to hold ourselves to tell the person not to minister again. How can they invite you for a conference? You call the organizers a night of the conference and said, please, where's my hotel room? And you are in the same city with them. Where's the car coming to pick me up? Where's the escort? Where's the security? Where's this one? People, please, I can't take, please, make sure that the protocol is good enough. Life is small now. Things are small. Change it for the organizers. The organizers, they were almost like this to say, you are not ministering again. The organizer said, oh, that's the last. That's the end. So now, the person may be crying, I lost an opportunity. Whereas you used your own hand. We need to talk about these things. Some people are rude in the office. People are greeting your boss. Welcome, sir. Welcome, ma. Welcome. I said, I wouldn't bother for anybody. I will not call on your name. I will not bow before you and bow before man. No way. They did not say, just honor somebody. You are welcome. No. A queen and more. Skin like milk. No. We don't do such. I don't do eye service. I don't do eye service. Aluta continua. Your journey long. The Bible says, honor men for the sake of the Lord. When people have gone ahead of you, just honor them. It will not take anything from you. It will not reduce your height. It will not take your beauty away. Good relationships with people. Are you following me? Please, are you with me? Luke 6, verse 38. I'm going to show you a very controversial scripture. Everybody read. Read verse 37. Not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. So, this verse ends with what? A colon. That means the next verse is a continuation of this particular verse, right? Verse 38. Give, and shall be given to you. Measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that ye met without, it shall be measured to you again. Do you know that this verse is not talking about money? This verse is not talking about money. It's not talking about even sowing and reaping. It's talking about your relationship with people. That what the aura you give, you will get. And with the same measure, it will be shaking down, pressed down, running over. Giving back to you. It's not talking about money. I know they've used that. Give, it will come back to you. Good measure, press down, shaking together, running over. Is the use for offering. That's not what it's about, though. It's about your relationship with people. And funny enough, the Bible does not teach that you have to give to God for God to give you. No, God gives you for you to give him. All throughout the Bible, God is not, you are not the one that starts the giving process with God. God is the one that will give you first. In the Bible, we don't give to receive. We give because we have received. Yes, Abraham was asked to bring a sacrifice. Eh? God asked Abraham to bring his son. Who gave him the son in the first place? Uh-huh. We'll get to that. But let's see how fast we can be. Good relationships with people. So number one is what? Number two? Number three, gifting. Proverbs 17, verse 8. Proverbs 17, verse 8. The Bible says, a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. I thought that would make you to shout some glory.
When God has given you a gift, he has given you something that can prosper you. You know, remember that time in the Bible where there was this woman who was owing her creditors and she was a debtor. And they were going to collect her child. And she went to meet Prophet Elisha. And the prophet said, "What do you have in your house?" She said, "Nothing. I don't have anything." He said, What do you have?" She said, "Nothing, but there is just one small bottle of oil." He said, "Take that bottle of oil, go and borrow vessels and begin to pour from that oil into those vessels." Kai, if you can begin to pour out that gift, it will fill up all the empty vessels. Some of you, God has given you something. You have something. If you can sharpen it. Are you with me? You have this talent. You have this gift. Don't worry. Keep working on it. Keep improving on it. Improve on it to the point where people can begin to communicate economic value for it. And soon, customers will begin to come. People will begin to draw to it. The gift, a gift of a man is as a precious stone. You know the popular one? The gift of a man will make room for him, right? It will bring him before great men. It will make room for you. I pray for you. Your gift is making room for you.
Amen.
Some of you, you can sew. Some of you, you have design ideas. You just have some ideas. Package this thing well. Are you with me? Some of you, you can draw very well. You can design very well. Everything you can do, keep working on it, keep advertising it. Come to people like your pastor who will encourage you and will find a way to encourage you more. Bring it out. Tell your neighbor, use your gift. You know the story in Elisha, in 2 Kings chapter 4. The prophet Elisha told her to pour the oil, and as she kept on pouring, the vessels just kept on increasing and increasing. And when they were no longer vessels to fill, the oil stopped. I pray for you. Your gift begins to produce for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Number four, service. Cultivate the character. Some people say, "Oh, Pastor, I don't have any gift." Okay, you can serve. Serve somebody. Let me tell you, money, prosperity goes in the direction of value. If you add value somewhere, let it be that you are working more than you are paid. The balance of God's principles will ensure that one day you'll be paid more than what you work. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes,
serve. You just want to use me here. You just want to use me here. No. It's only the equipment that they use that become sharper. It is only the people that they use that become better. And I pray for you. You will serve in the right systems.
Amen.
Because there are places where you will serve. And they will just use you and throw you away. But you will serve in the right places.
Amen.
Serve. When a man is given to service, a time will come where people look at him and say, "This one, no, we just have to do something for this guy. We just have to do something for this guy." In church, serve. In your office, serve. Don't take it as service, serve. The Bible says in Genesis 39 from verse 2, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Oh, how can you be a slave and be prosperous? We just saw it. By service. Some people cannot be trusted. Every single, you give them responsibility, you are scared, your mind will be beating. Pastor Kenny was telling me how there was a young man working with him. "Go and buy this thing for me." Without word of knowledge, we say, "Don't worry, you will buy rubbish, just watch." And he did. He always fulfilling prophecy in the wrong direction. Why is your life so lefted? Why? They will say, "Come by this time." We are sure. We know that you will come 3 hours later. We are sure. Save. Work on your character. Work on your... To be a person that has... They can say, "I can count on this guy. This one, I can count on him. At least, all the... wants this." And I pray for you, your prayers are answered. Say after me, "My prayers are effective." Prayer! 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verse 10. The Bible says, "And Jabez prayed. And Jabez called on the God," 1 Chronicles 4 verse 10. The Bible says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Kai, kapalate kepenai. I found out that some people that you think are not spiritual pray more than people that think are spiritual. Ah, I was privileged to stay in the house of the MDCU of a major construction company in this nation. I will not call the name. I lived in his house. They were doing all night every day. I said, oh, this man, you will see him in the day, businessman, he's just doing his transaction. In the night, he told everybody, wake up in his own apartment. As at that time, his company was worth $12 billion. Not that I heard ESA. I will be there in the office. You'll be hearing figures. In the night, they'll wake up and be praying. He told me how they were competing for one bidding contract. Him and another company. I don't want to call some names. And they gave him the contract. And one of the bosses of the other company came and met him and said, and shook his hand and said, we will see. They finished the meeting in a rental hotel, Lagos. When the road construction, they started road construction. Another company that came to also do construction. As they started the construction, he will pray in tongues first. They were praying in tongues. He saw the supervisor of that company started coughing blood. Just as they put asphalt and bitumen on the road, just to start grading it, the guy started coughing blood and fell. Then he said, oh, no wonder that man told me I will see. The thing he planned for me has hit his own man. Pray. Pray. He gets why. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me and enlarge my coast. There sometimes you say, oh, God. It's not carnality to pray for supplies. Jesus said, give us this day our daily, give us our daily bread. Don't just be saying people, oh, yeah, urgent 2K. Ask God. He will not slay you. Are you with me? Me, I know what I'm saying. New breed. God, we want. We told you we are buying land. God will give us the money. You will see. We will buy the land. In this Abuja, we will buy it. In Lagos, we will buy it. Because we have a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hill. Yes, he will use men. He's the source. Men are the pipes. He's the tank. Men are you with me? He's the source. Men are the channels. But pray. Pray. Number two. I wish I could talk longer. This is number two. Number two, the power of believing. Say after me, believe. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. There are some of you, in your mind, you don't really believe that this prosperity has to do with God. And I need to fight that thing. Especially now that teachers are flying that you don't need God to prosper. You need God, though. Even the billionaires you're talking about, God helped them. Oh, yes. I didn't know unbelievers. The Bible says, he maketh his rain to shine on both the good and evil. He maketh his sun to shine on both the good and evil. God helps them. Read about Bill Gates. Why was it that it was when Bill Gates was ready with his prototype, his mother now became a board member of IBM. IBM was the one that picked Bill Gates up. That was his first blowout. There are some of you, you just need the right opportunity. Are you with me? If you read the book by Malcolm Gladwell, The Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell did a study in history of everybody who became very great. He said that it was actually not because they were hardworking alone. It was because they were hardworking and their opportunity just came at the right time when they were ready. He even talked about how there were some people that were just born at the right time. He said Michael Dell, Bill Gates, all the computer geniuses of the 1980s were born at a certain time. Everyone that was born 2 years after or 2 years younger were not ready for that move. Are you what I'm saying? I read that book almost 10 years ago and I was stunned how he went into history. Even musicians in history. Even talented, what they call sports stars in history. Many of them, some of them it was their heights. Michael Jordan, all the people who were very good in basketball, their height was just 6'5". And they were taken and trained more. So because they had that quality, they were just selected. Are you with me? Sometimes I believe God. Why was it? You know, I kept thinking about it. That means the only reason Bill Gates became what he became, his mother just became a board member of IBM. And she talked to the CEO that my son has a prototype. Can you try it out? And they tried out on all their computers and everything worked. And the
IBM had to pay for every single software they bought from him. And you are killing yourself that you are not a billionaire at 21. Better go pray. God help me. Many of those people you are admiring. Somebody say, he's not by going to school. School is scam. Zuckerberg dropped out of, he dropped out of Harvard. Not that one at Orile. he didn't drop out of last school. Do you know what it means, that in Harvard, him, what's that the other one's name? Mark Zuckerberg, and there's another one's name. I'm trying to remember his name. I'm trying to remember the other one's name. Cha. I will remember later. You had constant internet to build. You are struggling with MTN data. Some people, their own problem is that they were just born in Nigeria. They had a full database to try out all the things they could try out. The whole Facebook was tried in their room. They were building it. Somebody, is it, my subscription not finished. Try again. Go buy credit. Let's try again. So that you buy the credit. It will be showing 5G, but no G. Better believe God, though. Pray, oh. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. This was David praying. He says, "Oh Lord, thine is the greatness and the power and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Verse 12. Read with me, verse 12. Read it again. I want you to hear it louder. 1, 2, 3, go. "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reigneth over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great, and to give strength to all, unto all." Verse 13. "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." My emphasis is in that verse 12. It says, it is in thy hand to make great. You must believe that God has the power to do this thing for you. Tell me, I believe God. Because some people, they don't even believe. All their own is, they heard you don't need God. And they are just trying to, no, you need God. And you receive the help of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Believe. You can also add, still under believing, you can add the right imagination. Imagine God telling Abraham, "As far as your eyes can see." Some of you, you may need to remove that beggarly mindset. Some people have, I wish I could talk about this throughout the whole service, but this, our time is gone. I will try my best to even finish. Some people have this, what the Bible calls strongholds. Strongholds in their mind against prosperity. In fact, in their mind, there is a certain level that is not for them. Are you following me? When they see somebody, they just shut out. When they are even communicating with people, if they meet somebody who is prosperous, very, very wealthy, the next default is to start begging. It's something to fight. Do you know how many times I've dressed with suits, packaged like this, and if I want to tell you where's my the account balance does not balance. But no, I will not act or dress my circumstance. I will act and dress my future. Very important. You must keep on stretching into your future to get there. There are some people. There was a man in River State. When Wike was still governor, he was bidding for a job, a contract. By the time it got into the government house and got to some decision makers, do you know what they said? They said, "This man is too small for this kind of money." He said, "This man does not look like he can handle this type of money." There is a way you will look. There is a way you will carry yourself. People that want to entrust you with something heavy, they'll say, he's not acting like he can. Are you following me? Are you following me? I'm talking to you. See, I'm talking to you because God has told me I will shape the people that will shape the world. I know it. For instance, when New Bridge started, when we started initially, we used to say we are children's church. I said, "That guy has started a children's church now." By the time they saw the way we're handling the ministry, prayer. If you come for our service those days, you will not think it's children's church. No, I can't. We can be here. I can turn this place into a whole. It's all about teenage, you know, those teenage children yarns. What time is the right time today? Let's talk about it. And that's all we are talking about in service. Even you say this, we are playing. Are you with me? The way you act, the way you think, how do you think about yourself? How do you carry yourself? How do you arrange your life? Napoleon, he said, think and grow rich. That book, initially, did not make sense to me until I started reading it. Literally, I was like, it's not think to grow rich, it's work to grow rich. But he said, think. So you need to start training yourself. Read books, train your mind, expand your imagination. He told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see. So people, anytime you have a friend that just your friends are scared of telling you that they have loan or they have a million. Because every small time, guy, remember your guy now. See your guy now. No! Start thinking contribution. Start thinking value. How can I add value? How can I add value? How can I add value? Say after me, I think big. I act my future. Praise the Lord. Glory! You're believing. I will have an answer service for that. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all we can ask or think. That means there are places in the spirit where your thinking can equate your asking. Oh, God. You know what I call this? I call it dreaming with God. They pay to imagine now. They don't pay to dream. So sometimes I close my eyes and I gaze into the future. I know it will be great. Don't start imagining, what if I would just buy? What if something would just happen? No, it will be great. Stop telling yourself all those nonsense. Close your eyes. Are you with me? Yes, sir. Do you know how many ladies will have problems in their relationships? They've read too much about relationship heartbreak. They've watched too many. Are you serious? He did that to her? He did that to her? They do not know that as they are feeding their mind with all those nonsense, they are creating it in their own life. Look into my eyes and tell me you cheated on me. Hey, all those romantic nonsense. No, my marriage is blessed. Nobody is cheating on anybody. You better create your future well. Dream with God. Tell anybody, dream with God. So we have talked about prayer. We talked about believing and imagination. Still under the laws of the spirit. Number 3, giving. Giving. I know they will fight me. They will drag me. Eh? It is well. But you see, yeah. You cannot. I'm with the Lord. If you like drag, yeah, it's your own business. It takes strength to preach what the Bible has said. So you can put giving, sowing, then you can also put being passionate about the kingdom. Still part of your giving. Being passionate about the kingdom. Let me show you something. Deuteronomy chapter 8 from verse 17. Okay, let's start from Deuteronomy 8, from verse 17. So, you need to read everything to get to this point. So, God was warning the people of Israel. He said, a time will come when you get into the promised land. And if you are not careful, you will get to the point where you start saying, and thou will say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Are you following this? Verse 18, it says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power. Can we all, everybody read this verse? 1, 2, 3, go. Read it again. That he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto his fathers. Oh, so the reason he gave you wealth is that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers. Some people say, what about the unbelievers? They don't have anybody. They are not. Let me tell you, everybody's wealth is servicing an altar. Whether knowingly or unknowingly. Everybody.
Shall I go deep into this? You, if you are not serving God, you are serving something. No, you must serve something. Whether knowingly or unknowingly, it's either you are actively sponsoring the work of the gospel or sponsoring something else. Some years ago, there were some artists that came to our church. I mean, musical artists, they keep dreads. And I don't have a problem with dreads. Even as a guy, whether you want to wear dreads, it's not your looks that's my issue. Are you with me? Do you have a serious work with God? That's the most important thing. Every other thing will come up later. So, and also they are trade, they are artists, they are music people. So, it's fine. And so they came to me. Sir, for 7 years, they've been pursuing a contract that their friend Omale, who knows Omale? That their friend Omale, they grew up in Port Harcourt together. That one has gotten a contract, and they've signed him up, and they have blown his music everywhere. That even Mona Boy was also their friend, but them, they left them, they're just there. I was like, really? That can I just pray for them? That God will open a door. I said, this door you are saying, is it Jesus you will sing? They say, Pastor, you know. I said, well, even if you say you don't want to sing Jesus, don't sing anything that will dishonor Jesus. They say, Pastor, we have heard you. So I prayed for them. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I don't know. I did. And 3 days later, they came to me, say, Pastor, see the contract. We've been chasing this thing for 7 years. Pastor, see the contract. See the contract, Pastor. They came and gave testimony in church, even did Thanksgiving. Sang in church. I will worship you forever. Love you. So they told us that, Pastor, we are relocating to Lagos. I mean, contracts, they bought a house for them on the island. Gave them cars. Give them, they began to, I started seeing them, the reason, rehearsing, they will show me their studio. Every time they were calling me, Pastor C. Then one day, I just saw one of them that started, I just saw him dance with a naked girl. I said, guy, wait till it happened. He said, Pastor, you know, he said, this industry, you know. I said, Then he released one song. The song was Sex Beginning to the Ending. He written that song. When I called him, I said, "Say, Pastor, things changed though. That we got there, and the people that sponsored us, they had a meeting. So they produced one song and sent it to the board of directors. And the board of directors said, see, we did not come here to come and be doing moral song, love song. They say, see, we're not here for doing clean anything. Say, if we're going to sponsor you, this is what you must sing." They showed me, you must think about sex, you must think about many of the billionaires you admire. How many times have you seen it? I don't want to say something. I can't say some things. I can't say some things. Let me just say it like this. If your money is not supporting the work of the gospel, you are supporting an hour of water. Let me just put it like that. They told me, say, Pastor, things change though. It didn't go like that. They told them, the billionaires sat them and told them, see, if you don't do it like this, many of your faves, they are part of major fraternities in this country. Let me not talk. Let me just. And there are some things that we say, you may not sleep well this night. Then you are a Christian. And God is just looking at you. There are some things you're just looking at you. You are joining them to argue about tithes. God is looking at you. In the future, you know, that time when Jesus was on the earth and he was speaking to some people, he said, I was naked and you did not clothe me. You did not attend to me. And they were like, Master, did we ever see you being naked? Like, yes. They were like, we never saw you on the road. He now said, that time when you had the opportunity to do it for my name's sake, to that person, you did not. Are you following me? God will remind so there are some people. The church will be in need and they have it. And I know what I'm saying. And God will be telling you, let me tell you something. If God is not Lord over all, he's not Lord at all. All of us, though, whether men of God, sons of God, we must all pass through that route. Every one of us. God will test you with finances. He will test you. This service is long.
Say some of you are looking at me.
He will test you.
Me, yes, I have my test. I can't even go into details.
All of us has tests. We have tests. God will test you, okay? You are arguing. You give you 1,100 naira tithe. 10,000. 1,000 naira. Tithe itself is Old Testament. You know that. Next year, March, we'll do a whole series on New Testament giving. The Christian in the New Testament, you have no business arguing about tithe. Because if we ask you to do what the Old New Testament says, we can't do it now. How many people can do it? Except people who the Holy Ghost has really held and held their clothes and taught them. Do you know what it means? That Barnabas brought his land, sold his land. In those days, Israel was not a big nation. No. Israel was, Abuja is like the whole of Israel can enter Abuja. Barnabas and sold his land. Usually the land in those days was like family inheritance. Sold it and brought to the apostles' feet. I'm sure they may almost his family members may almost hang Barnabas. What did you do? But the Bible called him the son of consolation, that he may establish his covenant. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me show you another one. Philippians 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. Everybody read this verse. Read it with faith and shout glory when you are done. 1, 2, 3, go. Many people quote Philippians 4, verse 19. Let's read from verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well. Let me even start with verse 12 so that you get the full context. Come on, this thing. It's long, but God will help me. Okay. It says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So Paul is saying that, listen, Philippian church, I'm not trying to tell you to give me to me because I just want to collect your money. I know how to abase. I know how to abound. Christ strengthens me to do all things. That's the context, too. Are you with me? He's not saying that Christ strengthens you to go and carry caterpillar. That's not what he's saying. You know, I can do all things. I can lift up silver bed building. There is a context of all things. Are you with me? I know how to abase and how to abound. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Then he goes in verse 14. Everybody read verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Verse 15. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. That's how they communicated with him. They were giving to him. So he was saying that Philippian church, you are, of all the churches I planted, only you remember to send. It was in response to this giving. He said, but my God shall supply all your needs. Are you following this? You know, I know that there are pastors who, they have masters in milking people. I've seen people who, pastors who have, when they are among pastors, they'll be bragging. I mean, master fundraiser, if you call me, they will give you your trouser. I will tell them, if you don't give their trouser, you will die. If you don't give your money, you will die. If you have to be threatened like that, then you are not a giver. Yeah, you are not a giver. So, I vow that I will preach it the way the Bible preached it. Preach it the way the apostles preached it. Explain it the way the apostles explained it. And leave it to the people of God. Are you with me?
Yes,
sir. It says, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but here only. Verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So that means, Paul, you know people say, Paul was a tent maker. Paul went to go and walk. At least you can see that he was not walking all the time. There was a time where it was not work that sustained him. It was the giving of the people, of the church.
in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Pastor said, like me, I'll be scared to say this. But you just said you had necessity. Now you are saying it's not because he desired a gift. Please, are you following me?
Yes,
we are studying Bible, right?
Yes,
so he was saying that the reason why is not because I desire a gift, because even if you don't send to me, I will still find a way to manage. Are you getting this? But I desire food that it may amount to your account. That means every time you give, something happens to you spiritually. He says he's saying there's a spiritual account that giving has accredited. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Verse 18. It says, but I have all and abound and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. That means Paul said, the reason why I have now is because, let me tell you, any pastor who is rich today, it is people that gave to him.
Yes,
did you hear what I said?
Yes,
any pastor who is rich today, it is people that gave to him. And it's not a sin. This is Paul telling you that right now, I have because you gave to me. Are you following this?
Yes,
I have because you gave to me. Having received of the things which were sent from you, an order of a sweet and smelling sacrifice, well pleasing to God. So, what I received from you, God has seen it and is pleased. And what will God do? Verse 19. But my God shall supply. So, are we studying the Bible? Somebody will say, this pastor, you just get a system. He knows say in bed they close. Now, in your country, they do this teaching. Sabinus, this pastor. Hey, this pastor. That's not what I did. But if you think so, what do I know? This pastor, self. Are there pastors that manipulate people? Yes. Am I one of them? No. But if a person believes, chooses to believe otherwise, it's up to you and the Lord. On the day of judgment, God, you will see everything. Are you with me? I'm not showing you what's in the word. We should learn it. We should learn it. Your pastors, honor them. Your head of unit, honor them. Praise the Lord. It's a spiritual law. Number four, divine direction. Divine direction is another way to contend for your prosperity. Divine direction. God told Isaac in Genesis 26, he says, you will not go down to Egypt, but you will stay in this land. And the Bible says, and Isaac sowed in that land. The sowing there was not given, no. It was that he planted agricultural stuff. Are you with me? That's Genesis 26, verse 12. And Isaac sowed in that land, and in the same year reaped a hundredfold. The blessing of Isaac that he experienced here was that God told him to stay in this land. So we have teachings on divine direction. Do well to get it. How has God been leading you? Your provision is in his direction. Are you with me? Your provision is in his direction. And finally, prophetic power. Yes, prophetic power. These are spiritual laws. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. It says, believe in the Lord God, you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, you shall prosper. Believe in his prophets, you shall prosper. As simple as a word of proclamation over a person. You know why I'm talking with this confidence? Everything I'm telling you, I've seen this happen. I've seen it happen. If all I came to do in this service was to share testimonies of people I have prayed for, people I have talked to, people I have put in prayer and moved from zero to millions, this service will not finish. The problem is that people are too familiar. You are looking at your pastor, that same pastor. I discovered that, you know, the Lord asked me one day, when the Lord was dealing with me, teaching this thing, if you know this truth, I just thought, the Lord asked me one day, he said, all the people that have been getting that financial breakthroughs that you prayed for, have you not noticed something among them? I said, what? He said, they don't take you lightly. I'm like, it's true. It's true. Look at this. Look at this person. Look at this person. Look at this person. Look at this person. I said, okay. He said, go and teach your people. Every church that they are billionaires, go and take their pastor lightly. Have you noticed? Go and check. The reason is because the anointing on the pastor is not for the pastor. It's for the people. Have you ever seen a tree eat its fruit? So it's the person that will say, okay, this tree that is in my compound, I will take this fruit serious. I will take this fruit serious. I don't want to mention names, but you may know some people, so I don't want to talk about their names. Some people in New Breed community. Take it serious. So when I say, I pray for you, there's something they do in Port Harcourt Church. They will say, I receive. That's the receive. I receive. Praise the Lord. I can't count how many of our people, when I announced how many months ago that God is giving our people a change of jobs, new jobs. Some people took that word and were praying with it. Lord, Pastor says, he don't talk again. We go see now. Anywhere by left face, we go. I can count 15 people that have gotten new jobs. It's not because where they were working before, but it's not paying well. What they have gotten times 2, times 3, some of them times 4, some of them times 5. Raise your hands in the name of Jesus.